Well, we're going to start with joy and move to protest and back and forth again. Today we lit a candle of joy and we sang after we lit the candle. And there's something joyful about the very act of singing, especially here. I must say at my book club and my condo community, we sang yesterday some different words to the 12 days of Christmas. It included a line about Pinot Gris and the rantings of Rob Ford. You get the picture. It was joyful. But even more joyful were the assembled neighbors. I'm lucky to be surrounded by really great neighbors who like to be there. And there's something about that community that's really strengthening. While being with the community was strengthening, of course, my neighbor next to me stopped her chemo treatments voluntarily. She's going for the ride of whatever each day is going to bring now, and she's finding joy in many things, including her own choices. The point of it is, we come in all different circumstances personally. We just don't know what may lay ahead. But we do find in the moment joy and in fact are surprised by it. We can even plan for it with some of the traditions we cleave to. One friend presented me his stocking the other day and I looked at it and I realized it's my job to fill it. It's part of that person's tradition. I guess it's called planning for joy. Me, I buy alternative Christmas gifts, but that's okay. We can plan for joy, we can also be surprised by it, but again, joy is a paradox. It comes even in the midst of our weeping. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. He wrote this book even as he met a bold, brash American woman named Joy. She came over to England and spoke up in the halls of patriarchy that were the norm for his university. Most didn't like it. He did. He ended up marrying her to get her a British passport as protection for her two sons. But along the way, surprise, surprise, they decided this was a genuine, great love. And they had a second marriage in a Christian service, so they'd feel kind of all right and good. The marriage was shadowed by Joy's diagnosis shortly after with bone cancer. And some of you saw that movie, Shadowland. Anyone? It's been a while now. It told you the story. I won't go into it. But the point of it is, he was literally surprised by joy, experienced joy, but in the paradox of some sad and uncertain circumstances. The title wasn't original to him. The title was by a poem by the poet William Wordsworth, who lost his beloved daughter when she was 5 years old. He wrote a poem later on called Surprised by Joy because he was going for a walk. And for once, that spiritual pallor of grief and mourning lifted, and he actually felt good. What is this? I'm feeling good. The birds are singing, the flowers are blooming. He laughed, and he started to talk to that little imaginary girl who more peacefully lived in his memory now. The mourning would still come and go, but he was able to still experience joy again. Hence the poem. So I think as we, whatever your road to Christmas is right now, I hope it's just a wild ride with some joyous moments, even amongst the tears that you weep and all of that. We do it together. The biblical psalm about joy is always for a communal people. And it always has to do with things like restoration, especially restoring a city that was ruined. Don't get us started, but I'll take my moment to rant. Further to Kathleen's message about the library, where 17% of staff are perhaps on the line, I learned the grand factoid that as a driver in this city, which already makes me one of the privileged, it cost me 17 cents a day to pay my vehicle tax. Remember that vehicle tax? It was the first gift from Rob Ford. One day last January, I got a check in the mail for $60. He was paying me back. Imagine asking me as a driver to pay $60 a year on a tax. Got the check, gave it to Joe Pantalone's mayoral campaign or something like that. Can't remember who that was. But the point of it is, for 17 cents a day, we drivers were adding $64 million to the city's coffers, which pays for most of the stuff that they're wrecking now. Does it add up? No, I want to hear, no. We're warming up to something from Reverend Billy. That's going to come later. No. Do you want to pay your 17 cents to drive a car each day so you don't fire 17% of the librarians? Yes! Revolution! Revolution! We'll get to that. Amen, brother. Okay, you're getting the idea. But just so we don't get too ranting, we're going to pray as well as protest. And I look at Yvonne. Honestly, the two of you bookended the sermon today. And we'll get to a concern that someone on the worship planning team had about, does God really bring down the rich? Like, does God do it? Does bring them on down and lift up the poor? She had some trouble with that. We'll get to it. So we've been invited to light candles for our counselors, but let them know, no praying in private. Send a note to your counselor. Pick your counselor. And as my 14-year-old nephew said in Kelowna, you will be hearing from me often. I will be praying for you daily. I will be lighting the candle. I will be listening and watching. Well, to get back to the Bible, which amazingly is full of protest this morning. Isaiah had an authentic calling from God and a mission to bring back the vision of Jubilee. You're all familiar with Jubilee. We've went through Jubilee with Kairos. But Jubilee was the core teaching of the Torah. Every 50 years, debts would be forgiven. The inequity would be leveled. And people would start over again to balance off that inevitable thing that happens where we end up with the 1% and the 99%. It's a built-in recipe for right spirituality, right relationship. So Isaiah freshened up the vision with those words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor, to release the captives, to bring the acceptable year, to announce the acceptable year of the Lord, which was code for Jubilee. Whenever you hear those words, acceptable year of the Lord, it means Jubilee time, boys and girls, men and women. Participate, do your bit. Those very words were chosen by Jesus in his inaugural speech. As you remember, Luke 4, verses 18 to 19, the first time Jesus stood up in synagogue, he turned to the words of Isaiah that Emma read today, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, he was there to invite people to participate in Jubilee. Not too far off from Occupy Now, perhaps a broader vision. And if that's not enough today, we have Mary's Magnificat. Again, I don't have to tell you. That was, if you like, the anthem of the liberation movement theology, or the theology of liberation in Latin America. And as we know, Mary, far from joyfully, or rather far from joyful circumstances around that pregnancy in a time when Rome ravaged the land, Mary wanted more. Mary wanted more of God's dream for a time when all lived in balance and equity. And Mary raised her son with that vision. To make no mistake, Mary also sang the song of Hannah found in 1 Samuel. Mary had a dream for her son that he would be part of calling people into Jubilee, helping them participate, starting with the ones on the street. And so, can we find joy in all this protest? I mean, this is heavy work. Or is it? Last Sunday, there's Sheila in front of me. Last Sunday, Sheila and I, through the rain, went to Trinity Chapel And I mentioned this before, it was the Faith and Occupy Now movement that held a service. And so there we were in this lovely space of Trinity Chapel. Many of the young people from Occupy Now, I don't think, had been in a space like that for a long time. And their first act was to thank everybody for allowing them to be in the space. We were there to hear Reverend Billy, Rebelluya, just to give you a taste of what was coming. But it took us an hour and a half before we got to hear Reverend Billy. First, we were part of General Assembly, and that was listening to many of the people who were moving from the park near St. James Cathedral talk about their community decision-making. They took more care and time with facilitation than I've seen ever on Toronto City Council. I saw at least five better candidates in that midst than what we have now. And it was amazing the patience with which people went through the rules of how they would engage with those who were breaking away, how they would handle acts of disruption, what would they do with people who contemplated acts of, if not violence, vandalism. And then came the very moving part of young people saying, it's time to declare our money. I've been carrying around $800.81 in my pocket. People give it to us. I don't know which bank account to put it in. Please. Somebody else saying, I've got a check I've been carrying around. And so there was another 20 minutes with how does the movement deal with its donations in a very transparent way. It went on, and it went on, and I thought, this kind of reminds me of the early church in Acts, just kind of sorting out how they're going to be together. It was very moving, very funny in places, but then came Reverend Billy. Did I tell you about him already? All right. Reverend Billy had totally blonde, so picture Elvis. No kidding. So he had blonde hair instead of black. He had a totally white suit on, including white cowboy boots. I thought he was a rather dashing figure myself, probably straight out of Union Seminary, but I won't peg him. And Reverend Billy used the call-out technique. What was it called again? I'm losing it here. The mic check technique. That's right. The mic check. So in a place where you don't have any mics, as they've been operating with at the park, you know, I'd say something, and you'd just holler back to me to make sure that everybody heard, right? So the preaching went like this. It's time to occupy Christmas.
It's time to occupy Christmas.
Rebelluyah!
Rebelluyah!
Right. It did get funnier, but it was also joyful. It was friendly. No one's calling for kind of forcing those people down from the towers with violent things. He did it with humor. And one of my favorite lines is, in New York City, where Reverend Billy was out with the very first Occupy Now movement, he said that they had surrounded a tower of, I guess, the 1% were up there. And the particular 1% in this tower spent $4 to $5 million hiring police to protect them from the people down on the street. So Reverend Billy was saying, just come on down and have some fun for Pete's sakes. You know, really, it's okay. It's fun down here. We tell jokes. We have good food. It's donations. Really, it's all right. It's not going to be that bad. We can talk about it how together. We know you can let go of just a little of what you have. It's not going to hurt that much. We're going to help you. We're just going to kind of bring it into the middle, right? Lift us up just a little bit. Lift us up a little bit. Bring you down a little bit. It's going to be fun. Right? So there was some joy. There was some playfulness. And I thought, in contrast to sometimes the rather harsh and strident sense of, this is serious stuff. So now I'm getting to the problem in our scripture this morning. We did discuss at worship planning, and actually I avoided it. And I told the person who I'm looking at now, she shall remain nameless. No, I don't want to touch that. But I will. The problem is it God who's going to bring down the 1%? And lift up the lowly? Does God just really want to push down a class of people? Even some of those rich people who never really asked to be rich but kind of got there anyway, you know? Is God just going to smash them down now and lift up the rest of us? It brings a very kind of strong arm, bulldozer God that Hans spoke about last Sunday. Really, is that all what's part of it? Yes, we've had revolutions when people don't voluntarily relinquish, when societies don't find a peaceful way to find equity. That, in fact, leads to great upheavals that can be violent. But that's not the message of Mary's Magnificat. It's not the message of Reverend Billy, in any case. The message is we can find some ways with playfulness and seriousness and facilitation and proposals to find our way towards the middle. There seems to be, though, a spiritual law in life that sometimes we fall. It's our own accidents or something's done to us, who knows? And sometimes those who are up must relinquish. Because I think what we can say is a harmony of equity and justice seeking is what God desires. It's not that the rich get pushed down and the lowly lifted up violently. It's that we must. It's in the very order of things. We must find a way to live more in the middle. And if Obama didn't know that, recently a high-ranking Indian politician simply said, "You guys over there are going to have to give up a little and learn to live in the middle so that we can come up a little in the developing world." Obama chose to make his speech the other day, which was reported in the Globe and Mail, and it's sad that I have to refer to Obama's speech because I can't find anything in Peter Kent's or Harper's speech, as Stephen mentioned. But Obama went to a little town in Kansas, the same town that Roosevelt picked during the Depression to announce the New Deal. And he went there deliberately, and he used the words, "The greatest problem America is facing is inequality, inequity, the gap of inequity." The columnist credited the Occupy Now movement for actually making it acceptable to say those words. Because up to then, what was acceptable was saying, "Let's grow the pie." What was not acceptable was saying, "So how's this pie divided?" And I think of Reverend Billy, as whimsical as it was, telling us that he was on his way now to 2,600 communities across Canada and across the states. Because just the fact they were doing something meant that some of this theater could happen. And obviously, according to the columnist, make it okay for presidents to use the word inequity and inequality. His solutions weren't that great. He kind of blamed it on globalization and the technological revolution, which is why we're losing our middle class. Well, you know. But at least it was being talked about and named. Our scriptures give us more than permission. Our scriptures tell us that is our very act of being faithful to participate in making Jubilee. Some with praying and lighting candles for counselors by name. Others by doing a bit of theater if you're up to it, like Reverend Billy. Others by slogging on with your emails, your letters. Others you by being faithful in whatever sphere you are, to keep repairing and restoring. But no doubt about it, the roots of our scriptures today saying, we will be joyous people as we participate in rebuilding our city, in being open to the joy that comes from making common cause. We are helped by the prophets of old and the prophets of young as we're open to them. And so, maybe, without further ado, let's practice one more time. Revolution! Have some fun with it. Revolution! Revolution! Okay. Amen.